Welcome to the anointed teaching and preaching at Arena of Life Church and Ty Jones Ministry. We believe that you'll be blessed by this message you're about to hear.
This is Matthew chapter 19. I'm going to start in verse 16 here. This is a passage of scripture. If you've been in church for any amount of time, you've heard this about the rich young ruler. Probably the most evident one is in Luke when it says one thing that you must change. But in this passage of scripture, there's something that I want us to see today. And it's Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. It says, "And behold, a man came up to him saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you ask me what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, and you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbors as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these I have kept. What do I still lack?' Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me.' And the young man heard this. He went away sorrowful, for he had great responsibility. God, I thank you for your word, that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you for your presence that's here today. Thank you, Lord, that in your presence is fullness of joy, that it guides us, it directs us, it makes us the person we want to be. Maybe we're not. But God, we thank you for your word as it goes forth today. Lord, may it change lives, heal broken hearts, mend relationships. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Look to your neighbor and say, "Man, I heard you singing." Come on, help me. Look to your neighbor and say, "Man, I heard you singing," or "Woman, I heard you singing. And it was terrible." But that's okay, because the Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Amen. Amen. It may not sound good, but it is joyful. I'm always grateful to be behind this pulpit. Thank you, praise team. Thank God for the presence of God, Pastor Ty and Lou Ann. Please continue to pray for them as they are on the road. They're watching my nephew Creed rope at the Cody Ole Invitation. That little Ned ropes really well, and super proud of him. But this morning, I'm thankful to be here with you, and I believe God's going to speak into your life. And this message that I have this morning, I wasn't going to completely go this direction, but God's been putting it on my heart all summer about this, and I've been thinking about it ever since we were laying in bed, and Brandy one night, she asked me, she said, "What's a baccalaureate service?" I didn't know what a baccalaureate service was. I went to a Christian school, so it's not like we always had a specific charge about, you know, living a Christian, wholesome life. So I had to look it up, and I saw what it was, and so I began to think about, as I was laying there, if I had the opportunity to speak at a baccalaureate service, what would it be that I would speak into the lives of these young people that they could hold on to, and it would speak life to them the rest of their life? And one of the things that I've learned, especially as I get older, I learn this more and more all the time. If you stop doing this, you stop growing. And it's this: always have a teachable heart. Teachability in you, even if that's a word, I don't know that it is, but teachability is a great aspect of some that somebody can possess and carry. And when I think about teachability, I think about two things that a person has who is teachable. I think this: I think that he has desire and he has willingness. You know, those are two things today that I believe in this culture that we live in, especially in our young people, those are two things that we're losing all the time, is desire and willingness. And in those categories of having desire and having willingness, I want to encourage you this morning, if you're taking notes, the first desire you need to have a desire to be better. Don't be run-of-the-mill. I don't care if you're flipping burgers at McDonald's. Be the best burger flipper that you can be. And there's another burger flipper that you can learn from to be better at the job that you're doing. You may be at a place right now where you think, this is the end of the road for me. This is all I can go to. That's not true. You can always be better at what you do. If that was anything that Pastor Eddie taught me as I was shoeing horses, he always taught me, never get to a place where you think you've learned it all, that you know it all. There is always a horse that's going to stump you. There's always going to be something that you're going to come up against that you've been shoeing for a long time. You're going to learn something new. Always have a desire to be better. Here's another one. Have a desire to change. There's some people that are stuck in the same place that have the same settings and have the default of how they are geared. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to have a teachable heart, you're going to have to learn to have a desire to change. You're going to have something on the inside of you say, I am sick and tired of staying at the same place of where I am. If you want to be better, you're going to have a desire to change. Here's the third one. If you're taking down notes, you need to have a desire to learn. You're always going to have to learn something. Let me tell you something. You may be in a situation right now where you have a bad leader. You can learn from a bad leader of what not to do. Amen? You need to be at a place where you can learn something. I always, especially like I've talked about in my trade of shoeing horses, when I see guys at range riders or things like that, it's amazing. Every guy does things a little bit differently. But they may do one thing that I do a little bit differently. And if I have the heart of this is the way I do it, I'm not going to change. I'm always going to do it this way. He may do something that makes it a whole lot easier. And in shoeing horses, you need easier things. It's hard work. And so if I have this heart of not being teachable and not having a desire to learn, I will never go to the place that God has in store for my life. Number two, you have to have a willing heart. Willingness, this is a hard word. A lot of you may not know what willingness is, but willingness has, you need to have a willingness to learn something new. All right, I'm talking to the older generation. The smartphone is not going to blow up and steal all your identity and all that stuff. It has that capability, but some people are afraid of that. And, you know, the other day, my son playing baseball, I FaceTime my parents, and I think, well, how great is technology? They're all the way in Longmont, Colorado, and they get to see Anson up to the bat and swing, hit the ball, and they're screaming and yelling on the other side. Technology's an amazing thing. But I've met people before that says they just want to talk on the phone, and that's great. But here's the deal. I'm just giving this as a metaphor. If we never have a willingness to learn something new, we may not have that teachable spirit about us. Here's the second thing. You need a willingness to relearn something you think you already know. And that's a hard one for some people to swallow as well. You know, I was watching a documentary here a while back on Dunkin' Donuts, and they played this clip of the late 80s, early 1990s, of this guy in a creepy mustache going up, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, shows his alarm clock and says, it's time to make the donuts. And he makes the donuts, and you know, for the longest time, they did excelled and did great things while they were making donuts. And then it came we came into an era where people were trying. We went into several different diets. People were trying to watch what they were eating, and now we're into this coffee culture. I was talking to people. I was getting coffee the other night at Palace, and I was standing there. It wasn't Starbucks, Pastor Ty. If you're listening, I was not at Starbucks. Okay. As at Palace, and this young man was asking, well, where's the bean from? And what part of the country of Guatemala did it come from? And I was thinking to myself, just 10 years ago, you would order a Folgers cup of coffee. Who cares where it came from? I know John's probably mugging me right now about coffee. But here's the deal. We're in this place of a whole new coffee. And so Dunkin' Donuts, he sees this. And he begins to, not that he's came to the top of his game with coffee by no means, but we see more than just donuts from Dunkin' Donuts. And so he had to relearn something that he thought he already knew. And so I'm trying to help you this morning. If you're at a place where you think you've arrived and you're at the best place that you feel like you can be, let me give you something that may hurt a little bit. Nobody likes you, all right? Nobody wants to be around you. They can't stand you. And if you keep going through friends, I'm trying to help you. You need to have a teachable spirit about you, all right? And you know, there's things in our life that we put in front of us that come along and prevent us from seeing this. In fact, it makes us almost blind to having a teachable spirit. Now, let me see a show of hands in here. Who wants to have a teachable spirit, all right? Now, I'm going to encourage you. This is just one thing. I could share five things this morning, but this is one thing that's been on my heart that prevent us from having a teachable spirit. A lot of you know this, but I still, every other week, I go to Pampa, Texas, and I have a barn there that still has 60 head of horses in it. And so I usually go every other week, and I shoe about 10 and trim 3 or 4. Red Horton, who is a member of this church, he's 92 years old, World War II veteran. He can't hear a lick. I scream at him all the time, and it's amazing. Well, the other day, we stop at Pilot truck stop. He said, Travis, pull in here. I got to go to the bathroom. So he goes in there. Well, I'm doing some things. I'm not paying attention where he is. And so I just stand outside the bathroom. Well, this lady walks into the bathroom, and I hear him go, "Hey!" I thought, oh, great, Red's in the girls' bathroom. And Red goes, "Get out of here! You're in the wrong one!" And she steps out of the bathroom, and I'm acting like, I don't even know this guy. So Red, or she opens the door back up and goes, "You're in the wrong one!" He goes, "Okay!" So then Red comes out. He comes out of the bathroom, and he said, "Travis, I sure didn't see that one." Or he goes, "I was in the girls' bathroom." I said, "Yeah, I saw that." He goes, "I didn't see it." You know, sometimes we get so caught up in life and get caught up in us that we get to a place in our life we don't see things, and next, before you know it, we're in a place that we don't want to be. And I'm going to tell you right now, just like Red Horton, I want to communicate the next 3.5 hours to you guys about, just kidding, not very long this morning. I want to talk to you about a roadblock that comes against you in teachability. It's a roadblock of pride. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is something that I definitely have dealt with in my life, of trying to see the difference between of someone who is confident and someone who is prideful. But pride will cause you not to see things that you're supposed to see. You know, it's been hard for me over the years. There's some people that I've seen that I tell them, "You have pride." And no, I don't. I want to pray with you about pride. Well, I don't have pride. It's because we come to a place, this is such a roadblock, and it will hinder us from being at the place that God wants us to be and being who God wants us to be. And I've seen pride do this. I've seen pride make someone quit their job because they're better than that. And those people that are above them don't see them. I mean, I'm making coffee for these people. They do not see the potential that I have. I'm going to errands, going to do things, but they don't see. See, pride will prevent you from going to places. Pride will prevent you from promotion. Pride will cause pressure in your life. I've seen pride. I've seen people go into debt because there's no way they have this character or this image to uphold, so they have to drive these nice cars. They can't be seen in a hunk of junk, or they can't be seen in a run-of-the-mill home because pride sets in. They have to have these things that's way beyond their means, and they go into debt, and it creates pressure in their life because they have pride. I've seen pride destroy more lives because of addiction, because they have a name to uphold as well. And because maybe they've gone through and they had this before, but they went through a long spell that they didn't do something for a long time. And I'm not talking about just methamphetamines. I'm not talking about cocaine or drugs or alcohol. I'm talking about maybe even a lying spirit. I'm talking about pornography, whatever it is. But because of pride, pride will be the biggest block that will keep you from running to the cross. And if I've learned anything in my life, I can't do anything without the cross. But pride will prevent people from doing the right thing. You know, pride can be built up in all of us. I mean, who in here, we like to figure things out on our own, right? Nobody wants that feeling of, we never want to look like we don't know what we're doing, right? I've been doing spin class for a little bit at Amarillo Town Club, and I love the class, and I hadn't been in a month and a half, as you guys can see, but I've been enjoying the summer. And as I was going through the school year there, the teacher comes to me and says, "You're really excelling in this class," and one of the guys told me that was sitting next to me, "You ought to get some cycle shoes." I said, "I'll get cycle shoes, but I'm out on the tights. I am not wearing tights, will not do it, okay?" So anyways, I go and I get the spin cycle shoes, and I come in that morning and I feel it's like a brand new saddle, you know, it's like stiff as a board. And I sit in that seat and I begin to try to put that, well, I haven't messed up. And this guy looks at me and goes, "You need some help?" I said, "No, I don't need no help." And so I sit there for another 10 minutes just goofing around trying to click this into the cleat inside of there. And finally he says, "You want me to do it for you?" I said, "Yes." You know, nobody wants to look like they don't know what they're doing. Even my son, my little boy that's 6 years old, when we're at the lake, he kneeboards great now. But when we bought a kneeboard, he sees dad kneeboard, and he thinks, "Oh, I can do it. Dad, let me in the water. I'll do it." And so he's out there, and I want to help him so bad. He's like, "Dad, I can do it." Of course, he's drowning. He has the deal in there. we take off with the boat. Water's going over his head because he's too forward on the kneeboard. I want to help him out so much, but because of pride, even in a six-year-old boy, he wouldn't let me help him do absolutely anything. The Bible says this, Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 18:12 says, before destruction, the heart of a man is proud, and before honor is humility. You know what I used to think? I used to think maybe it's just the people that I'm around. Like it's their M.O. that they're prideful, like cowboys. I'm not talking about the Dallas Cowboy. I'm a little prideful about them. But I'm talking about cowboys. It's amazing to me how proudful cowboys can be. Now, I'm not pointing any fingers, but they're the best. And if you don't believe me, just ask them. They're the best at whatever event that they do. Or if you go ship cattle with a cowboy and everything goes wrong, it's all your fault, although you're doing exactly what they told you to do. Horseshoers, oh Lord. Pride, thick and heavy. Musicians, oh, I think that's the worst. If you don't believe me, ask them, they're the best. And so I begin to think that it's their MO, but as I begin to see this, I begin to see that there's two different groups of people in this world. There are those that are humble, and that those that have pride. I see it all the time. We have some that are super full of pride, and we have some, we can narrow them down into two different categories. We have the prideful ones, and we have the humble ones. And listen, I'm not letting women off the hook, but the men are the worst about being prideful. I figured I'd get more amens from the women right there, but it's whatever. It's moved on, sorry. But, you know, I was thinking about this and thinking about some situations where I've been in prideful moments. And I remember this couple that was sitting in front of me at one time. And I was doing their marriage counseling. And I remember we were sitting there and this guy, he was actually older than me. He said, you're going to say that scripture in Ephesians 5 where it says, wives, submit to your husbands. I said, yes, I am going to say that. But I'm also going to say the part before where it says, husbands, love your wives as you love yourself. And it's amazing that God puts that in there. You know, the word of God is so amazing, like it's so true to us. It didn't say, wives, love your husbands as you love yourselves. Because women don't love themselves like men love themselves. Have you ever thought of that? You know, a woman can look in the mirror and be like, oh, this eyelash is bad. Oh my gosh, I hate my nose or all this different stuff. And a dude could go to the mirror, bald, hair sticking up out of his shirt and be like, how you doing? I see why every day she fell in love with me. I am a hunk. And you're like, vomit. Is that true, Dorinda? She's having a fit over here like, that is so true. I'm telling Timmy on you. All right. But here's the deal. You know what pride does? You know what pride does? Pride gives you this uncontrollable need to be noticed. But you know what humility does? Humility gives you this uncontrollable, noticeable ability to see other people's needs. Yes. Let me say that one more time. When you have pride, you have this uncontrollable need to be noticed. But when humility is a part of your life, you have this desire to notice the needs of people that are around you. You know, that's so true. I see that all the time. In James 4:6, it says this, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. As you read Isaiah, we see this, that he communicates the fall of Lucifer. And if you've ever read it before, the thing that got Lucifer kicked out of heaven was pride. So if pride is the thing that gets Lucifer kicked out of heaven, it's not that you're getting kicked out of heaven. When you have pride here on earth, it may be the very thing that keeps you from experiencing heaven here on this earth. Pride can be the one thing that keeps you from experiencing heaven here on earth. You know, I hear this before, and I think there's a lot of truth to this, but a lot of people say this, love is blind. But I'm here today to tell you, love makes you see more things that you never saw before. If anything, pride is blind. Pride will blind you from the truth every single solitary time. You know, I feel about this, and as I read more scriptures and see different stories of people in the Bible who have had pride, I feel like looking at Proverbs and seeing this, I feel like God is not, you know, that moment when you get onto your kids and it's one of those, not like, you know, take out the trash or clean up your room a little bit more, not those things, but like when they run out in front of a car and it's life or death. And it's like, oh, and so you pull them to the side and you grab them by the face. You know what I'm saying? You grab them by the face and you say, look at me. And, you know, their eyes are like looking over here like, no, I said, look at me. And you know what I'm saying? But I feel like us as Christians and believers, but also people in the world, God is trying to tell us, if you get this, this is life or death. This will help you so much in the long run. This will save your life. I feel like God is like, you know, when you grab them, you put the finger under their chin and you pull it up, like, you look me in the eye. You look at me right now. You want me to do to you what I did to your brother? I don't have a brother. Exactly. You won't be around much longer if you don't get this. I feel like God, in all his sovereignty and all his goodness, is grabbing us as his children and saying, if you don't see this, this could be life or death. This could make you or this could break you. C.S. Lewis said this, a proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is about you. You know, I heard this story one time. This guy, I listened to this message one time. He's a great pastor and a great preacher here in America, in Arkansas. And he asked his pastor in Louisiana, he asked him, he said, what is it that I need to know? I'm going to Arkansas to start a church. And he said, young man, if I can tell you anything, always stay on your face before the Lord. Always stay, even if it's something super small, but always stay on your face before the Lord. And here's why. When you stay on your face before the Lord, it will help you. I've never seen a man who's on their face before the Lord stumble and fall, because they're already at the position of being down there. You know, that makes so much sense to me. Thinking about that is, we need to be at a place where saying, God, you're continually in control of everything that I need to do. You know what? Pride will hinder you from being that. Pride will keep you from being teachable. It'll keep you from where you want to go. You know, one of the things this morning I want us to look at, and I was thinking about this, thinking about teachable desire and willingness, trying to think of a passage of scripture or maybe a story in the Bible that communicates somebody who had pride that prevented them of being the person and the destiny God had in store for them. And I believe the passage of scripture I want to go to this morning is King Saul, and it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 13. And because of his lack of teachability, it costs him completely greatly. And to set this up, I want you to think about this story. Before I go in there, it shows us in 1 Samuel chapter 12 that the odds were not in their favor, that the Philistines were preparing to attack. Israel had 3,000 soldiers. The Bible says that the Philistines had 30,000 chariots and men on top and some foot soldiers on top of their chariots. And so King Saul, he is appointed. He's the first king of Israel. He's pretty unsure of himself, which a lot of you in this room, I know myself, I would be unsure of myself if the odds were stacked against me in any way. But how Saul reacts when he felt unsure gets him in trouble. Now also, let me set this up. In this particular day, in those days, the king would set up a strategy. There would be a prophet, and this man was named Samuel, that would go to the Lord. He would make sacrifices and pray, and he would ask the Lord, what's the best way and what's the best idea that we can do to attack this enemy? And if he said yes, God said yes through the prophet Samuel, they would do it. And if he said no, then they would call off the mission and they would do something else. So he calls for Samuel. And the Bible says this, he waits a day, he waits 2 days, he waits 3 days. Actually, the Bible says he waits a week. And so then he thinks to himself, why can't I do this myself? If you have your Bible this morning, go to 1 Samuel chapter 13, and this is where it begins. It says, Saul was still at Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. He waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, bring the burnt offerings here to me and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offerings, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him and greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, When I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord, so I forced myself and offered the burnt offerings. Verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which the command which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be a prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded. You know what Saul presumes, and we see in this story right here, Saul presumes because of his title and his position, he could do whatever he wanted. And I'm here to tell you this morning this. Whenever you get that presumption in your life, that's a huge mistake that you'll make. When you have this entitlement about you, see, presumptions caused by pride is a serious roadblock to teachability in your life. And there's four presumptions that I want to show you this morning. There's four things that I feel like through this scripture can show us if there's pride inside of our life. The first thing, the first presumption that we can make that is caused by pride, if you're taking down notes, is this. Number one, the rules don't apply to me. When you have this mentality or you have this thought inside of your mind, the rules don't apply to me, pride is creeping up on your back door real quick. You know, I've seen this in ministry, but also I've seen it being at a restaurant. You know, when some big shot comes in who's full of himself and full of everything about him, and he feels like he can cut or he tries to get the attention, he tries to do things because rules don't apply to him. You guys know what I'm saying? Shake your head if you know exactly the person I'm talking about. You know, one of the things that we wanted to do over at the Grip Building one time was this. We wanted all the kids to come in the front, not the side. We wanted the kids all to come in the front. We set it up, made it great for kids to come in. It'd be a great place for them to sign up. We had music, all this different stuff to make that the best. You know, for years, for 5, 6 years, we came in the side door. So we thought, let's make this a little bit different. Let's have all our kids come in through the front. You know, it worked a little bit, but you know where we came up against our biggest problem? We came up against the biggest problem when parents that have been coming here for 10 years, the rules don't apply to us. You can go in the side door anytime you want to. Because of that mentality, we had to stop it completely. It's sad. But I'm going to tell you right now, when you have the mentality that Saul had right here, the rules don't apply to me, pride is coming quick into your life. Here's the second one. My position entitles me to do whatever I want. I guarantee you, if CEOs of businesses heard me say this, they'd be sending me a love offering. But in your life, my position entitles me to do whatever I want. Pride is creeping into your life. Saul, think about this. Saul thought because he was the king, his position trumps what the rule of thumb is. How many of y'all know some people like that? Saul, this is exactly where he's at. And you know, one of the things that my dad would do, my dad was a principal. He was always my principal at Christian schools. You know, one of the things that he would always do, he would go to my teacher, and he would sit the teacher down and me. I remember several of them. I remember one with Mrs. Moxley, my sixth grade year. We sat down. He said, I'm the principal. I'm your boss, and I need you to know something. I don't ever need you to teach or to communicate to my son that he's better than any other kid in this classroom. If you guys go outside, he goes outside. Whatever you do, he needs to do. You know what that communicated to me? It wasn't fairness. It wasn't favor. He was communicating really quickly to me that just because I'm his son, I am not entitled to be an idiot. You know, lots of time we get this attitude, I can do whatever I want to. That's one of the biggest reasons. When my kids come in here, I do not like my children to be in church. And here's why. How can I tell you to put your children in children's church if my children are not in children's church? That's a big thing to me. It's caused some heavy moments between me and my wife, but it's a big thing to me. They are not entitled, and back there in that children's church, if they need a whipping, they need to call their father, and I've let them know that. Amen? Here's number three. I don't need anyone's help or advice. Ooh. I guarantee you that Saul thought after day seven, fine, I don't need anybody else. I'll just take care of it myself. How many of y'all have ever been in that road before? You know, we get into things sometimes too, and me being a man, sometimes rather than asking for help, I have YouTube and I have Google. And then after I mess that up, then I will call somebody else. But you know, because of YouTube and Google and because of DIYs and all this different stuff, we think that we're 10 foot tall and bulletproof, and we don't have to rely on somebody else. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, talk to your sin about somebody else. Amen? It's very important that we get these things off. Here's number four. I'm going to go ahead with the good instead of waiting for the best. That is pride. I'm just going to do the run of the mill rather than being better than really where I am. And Saul, he settles for this, that it's good enough making these sacrifices himself, but he forfeited the best. And I'm coming to a close if the praise team wants to join me right now. There's one last thing that I want to share with you, and it's this. I'm going to get back to the rich young ruler. I was reading a book by John Maxwell, and he's a great leader of leadership. And he said this in one of his books, pride deafens us to the advice and warnings of those around us. Pride will deafen you to the things that you need to hear, but because of a block, I can't take it from that person that's younger than me. Or I can't take it from that person because of this. It will deafen you from what God has in store for your life. One time, as I'm coming to a close here, there was a time I was out in front of the youth building, and there were some kids inside of a car, and they were listening to hip-hop or rap or something like that. So I go out to the car, and I begin to listen to it, and all these kids know every song verbatim. I mean, they knew every single word. And I was listening to that, and I was thinking to myself, this is awful. The things that are coming out of their mouth is absolutely horrendous. And so I go to him, and I remember going to this young lady, and I said, you even hear the words that you're saying? They go, oh, Pastor Travis, I just love the beat, and I love the way it sounds, but I don't listen to the words. You know, we know that's false. You know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Destruction comes by hearing, and hearing destruction. We know that eventually she's going to start living out what she's listening to. But you know what? I begin to think about that. I begin to think about messages that I've preached even in here where people come up to me and say, oh my gosh, that was an amazing word. I remember a guy came up to me and he said, that was a dang good speech. Although he didn't say dang, he said something else. And I said, well, I appreciate that. But you know what? As a minister, honestly, I'm sick of hearing that. People like what a message may make them feel. But it's the words that's going to make a difference in your life. It's applying the word of God to your life that's going to make the biggest difference. That's where what means the most to me. And thinking about this, I thought, here's the rich young ruler that goes up to the teacher that may have been compelled to go up to him and say, good teacher, what a great message that's spoken to my life. What can I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And he tells him all those things, and he says, well, I already do that. How prideful does he sound? Well, I already do all those things. How many times in our life have we done that? Well, I'm not doing the big things anymore. You know what I'm sick of seeing? I'm sick of Christians getting saved and experiencing God for 1 year and then experiencing that 1 year over and over for 20. You know, every year God wants you to be better in Christ and not stay at the same place you're supposed to be. But pride will block you from going to the place that God has in store for your life. Never stop growing. Never stop being better. Never stop learning. Have a desire and a willingness to be teachable. But looking at the story of the rich young ruler, I want you to see something this about him. And you may have never seen this before. The Bible says he puts his head down and he walks away. You know, the Bible has no record of him anymore. Nobody knows what happened to him. What happened to the rich young ruler? Nobody knows his name. Nobody knows his occupation. We do know that he has money, but we know nothing else about him. You know, the people that didn't have pride, like Jairus, that went to the Lord and began to worship, we have some identity. Pride will cause you not to have identity in the Lord. And pride cost him his life. The Bible says he put his head down and he walked away. And so my question to you this morning is this. Maybe pride's so big that you're saying, oh, this applies to somebody else. Oh, that applies to, oh, I wish so-and-so was here. If that's going on inside of your head, you have pride. Because you will see the faults of everybody else and not the things on the inside of you. You know, one of the things this morning, as I came to this altar, and I was reminded of this morning, as I begin to pray and seek the Lord, sometimes in me, I get so prideful of church, 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 that I forget about the lost and the community that I live in. I don't want to be that way. I want people to see Christ on the inside of me. So my question to you this morning is this. Who is that? Who is that? I know that's a big leap and that's a big gap, but I'm going to tell you this morning, there's some of you in here that you're saying you are talking and you are speaking directly to me. I'm going to tell you, I'm talking to me too, because there's some things in my life that I have pride. Because of pride, I won't go where God's called me to go, and I won't do what God has called me to do. But I need to have this heart, this desire to be teachable. And God will use that, and God will do a miracle in your life.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. For more information about this ministry, please look us up at www.arenaoflifechurch.org or contact the church office at 806-622-8000.